They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Shu Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights. On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. This is On the Commons, and I am Shu Bartholomew. Radio Fairfax, we're joined today by Andy Ostrowski. Andy is in Pennsylvania. He was a candidate for Congress in November. Unfortunately, he didn't make it. But he said win, lose, or draw, that he was in the HOA issue, and he's kept his promise because he's been super active in that. He's also the founder of the Pennsylvania Civil Rights Law Network. So he has a long history of being interested in protecting civil rights, individual rights, property rights. Andy, thank you so very much for joining us. You're my kind of guy.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Shu, and thank you for having me. It's always always good to be talking to you.
You wrote a very good article about a place called Hidden Valley, and the title of it is The Hidden Truths Behind Hidden Valley, and it's a little bit scary. I'm going to open it up. I'm going to ask you to tell us about it.
I'm glad to have the opportunity to talk about it. I kind of fell upon this Hidden Valley situation when I was running for Congress. As I explained in the article, before I started running for Congress, I was aware of homeowners associations, condominium owners associations. I was not aware of the details and the intricacies of the issues, but I began to be connected with a couple people that I had worked with in the past and about some of these issues, and then actually met a woman during the campaign who was a homeowner at this Hidden Valley condominium, and she started to help me out doing some of my social networking things and getting me connected, keeping me connected with the homeowners association community. And as I got into it a little bit more, I began to learn more about this particular condominium, which is located in Berks County, Central Pennsylvania, which I guess is probably about 50, 60 miles west of Philadelphia, so pretty much in central Pennsylvania. And, so it became something, I got to know the person personally who owned the property and, talked to her and became friendly with her during the campaign. And it really, kind of worked hand in hand with what I was learning about these homeowners associations issues. And if you see, it's on I think the article that you're talking about is on the Wilkes-Barre-Scranton Independent Gazette. It's an independent newspaper publication here in Pennsylvania that they do a really good job at, covering stories that a lot of mainstream media, corporate media, doesn't really cover. And they agreed, because I became really familiar with those fellows during the campaign as well. And, they liked my work and liked the things I talked about and liked the things that I was working on. So they, agreed to provide some coverage of this Hidden Valley situation. And not all, this is like, I try to keep in touch. Since the campaign, I'm still, fighting all my daily battles, my licensing battles and fighting the system and trying to help people out along the way. So I don't have as much dedicated attention to all the issues that I like to, but I try to, read Ward Lucas's blog and, I try to skim over some of my social media stuff on some of the HOA groups just to find out what's going on. And, you know, I'm in complete agreement that these are all, you know, very serious and tragic stories about, you know, these private governments, basically, is what I like to call them, running and ruining people's lives. And this particular Hidden Valley situation, that, you know, there's a Hidden Valley, HiddenTruths.webs.com is the site that they cover it generally on, and then there's a Facebook page connected to that. But this is, you know, this is... you know, Neighbors at War meets Aaron Brockovich, you know. This got into a situation where, you know, again, there's the underlying homeowners association issues, and, you know, these people are able to basically skirt the law, and they don't enforce their own covenants, and, you know, she can't get any relief through the courts, through the HOA-specific issues. And then you add to that, you know, all kinds of intricacies about possible, even, you know, this particular condominium is built on what is believed to be, you know, contaminated land. She had a, this homeowner had some contact. I mean, and this litigation has gone on for 15 years. You know, this all started with a fire back in 1999 in an adjacent unit that affected hers and, you know, 5 to 7 other units. Never repaired the thing to a habitable condition. And then, you know, knowing what the conditions were, and then some sewer issues developed, and there was this deplorable, absolutely deplorable living conditions. And if anybody, you know, wants to look and study this a little bit more, you know, you can go on that Hidden Valley, HiddenTruths.webs.com site and look at some of the pictures. And what we're really doing is we're able to, you know, because there's mold issues at this building, and, you know, we have a lot of people that, you know, from the mold communities out there, and this is, again, another thing that's common in the HOAs, but even in, you know, even in apartment complexes and things of that nature, too. But there's just so much here and so much involved in this situation, and, you know, where I kind of left off was, you know, I started talking about this EPA guy that this homeowner had been in touch with in 2014, after 14 years of litigation where she wasn't able to get relief through the courts. And this EPA guy started telling the homeowner that, you know, this was a land contamination issue. He referred to it as the Love Canal, except for the amount of waste involved. It's the Love Canal. And if anybody knows about the Love Canal, it was a situation up around Niagara Falls, New York, that actually led to the CERCLA Superfund law. They concealed... It was a school district involved in concealing land contamination, known contamination on property for years that they started building on. And, you know, all the government officials and agencies, you know, denied and covered up and protected the powers that be until ultimately, you know, they couldn't conceal it anymore. And it became a real, became very popular, you know, through the public and across the country. I mean, it was a very... renowned news story back in the 1970s that actually led to the Superfund law. Well, you know, we have direct evidence that there was battery waste found on this property, and an adjacent property that was sold to a company called Pinnacle Development, which I believe is probably something that, you know, they are probably active in developing condominiums and HOAs across the country. I know it's a multi-billion-dollar country, and, you know, I believe that they've been involved in RICO suits in the past. But they ended up building, you know, this. They ended up, you know, there was a school district that was going to buy this property. The school district backed out of the property after this battery waste was found, and they, you know, came up with some kind of sweetheart deal with a, you know, a buddy that knew somebody else, and they built a retirement community on this property. So this is, you know, the underlying, I mean, that's the big overarching issue that we're operating under. And then in the context of all this, there's all kinds of little intriguing details of the matter. You know, people who, you know, who were going to blow the whistle on this HOA and who had all the evidence to expose that the HOA and their lawyers did a deliberate cover-up with this thing. I mean, these people at this homeowners association, condominium owners association in this case, you know, their litigation strategy became, we know that we have a huge issue. We know that we have an unlivable unit. We know we have a building in deplorable condition, but we're going to forget all that. We're not going to fix this stuff. We're not going to address that stuff. And we're just going to attack this particular homeowner. And now, you know, I'm actually in the middle. I was out yesterday. You know, I've got another guy that I became connected with through the campaign who, you know, had seen some of this stuff. And I think he saw the article that we're talking about. And he's a film producer. He's a recent graduate from Drexel University. I worked with him on another project up here. You know, we stayed in touch, and you know, he said he's interested in doing a little documentary. So we were actually out there yesterday doing a little documentary around the property and talking to some witnesses. And you know, the one witness who we spoke to was involved in these meetings where these board members, you know, maybe not at the actual board meetings, but they would get together afterwards. And the whole plan was, how can we attack this homeowner? How can we keep, you know, anybody from having to address these issues? And it's been everything from, you know, defamation, assaults on her character, you know, keying or knifing her car, leaving, you know, threatening notes, and even suggestions of, well, let's just kill her. You know, that's a way to get rid of this problem. So, you know, this is, you know, what the homeowners laws and the homeowners associations and this whole climate and culture in this country have allowed to exist. And if I'm okay to, you know, continue speaking,
Yeah, I just wanted to stop you for a minute there, because
sure.
The story you're telling is not unique to
right.
Hidden Valley. It's something that is happening across the country. You would be amazed at how many people are living in substandard, uninhabitable buildings that, you know, it makes you wonder, first of all, why are developers allowed to build on land that was once landfill and is potentially contaminated? Where is the real government? I mean, local municipalities like to issue permits and charge you for all kinds of things, but where are they? Why are they not making sure that these things are built properly? Is there a failure of real government along the lines?
Well, that's, and you know, when I first became interested and started studying these issues back during the campaign, I did write a couple of short pieces about this, and I think, you know, you and I had actually talked about one of them. That is the real fundamental failing here, is that they are abdicating their, you know, public governmental functions to these private homeowners associations who are usually typically owned by politically connected, you know, well-financed contractors who are getting the people, you know, elected to office, who are then making the decisions as to what they are allowed to get away with. And it's just a total, you just get completely and totally stonewalled along the way. And then you go and you approach the government entities and agencies, and I got a, you know, a couple little stories to tell about that, but, you know, just as a general theme, you know, you go to a township meeting or you go to one of your, you know, local governmental meetings, and, you know, they get to kind of sit back and say, oh, well, that's a homeowners association, it's a private matter, there's nothing
yeah.
that we can do.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it gives them a cover, because even though they are homeowners associations, you know, building codes, property maintenance codes, things of that nature are still supposed to apply to these homeowners associations, but the, you know, because of, you know, whatever political deal they have or whatever protection that they're running for whoever's involved, you know, they just kind of sit back and say, oh, that's a private issue, even though it's you know, definitely not, they're definitely way more than private issues. So it's an absolute failing in this system. And you know, I haven't, you know, I still continue to study these issues. You know, I've got a great network of people, you know, who've really been helping me get educated on these things. But it is a failing of government government. And I don't know, Shu, I don't know what your opinion on this thing is, but I mean, to me, it's like they should just not be allowed to exist.
I couldn't agree with you more. I
yeah.
could not agree with you more. I'm no big fan of government, I'll be honest. I'll be up
yeah.
front. But this is an absolute failure. I mean, this is a disgrace, because the rest of the world is constantly being told how free and wonderful everything is in this country, and then you come here and you've got kids going to school where the school is built on contaminated property, where you have a handful of people who are getting away with such absolute nonsense. You talked a little bit ago about this homeowner being threatened with her life. I know in the article you talk about people who've actually died in this association.
Yep. And we, in fact, there were two board members, and one of them, and actually both of them, one of them got pretty close to this homeowner. You know, he was one of the ones who early on was not believing her. He was part of the defamation. He was part of the abuse, but he lived right next door to her. And he started realizing that, wow, she really does have some legitimate concerns here. So he became a supporter and friends and friendly with her. And he was giving her information. In fact, he gave her documentation that shows, she's got a whole intrigue in the courts and lawyers story and how lawyers got documents from her and won't return them to her and things of that nature. But he was the one that gave her evidence of all this land contamination issues. And this guy... he had some health problems, but, it was getting closer and closer. And he told her, at one point, he said, when we turn over this documentation, they wanted to go to the district attorney with it. He said, this is getting risky business. And when you get, when you get a hold of this information and you're aware of this information, you got to go the whole way. And if they find out that I'm giving it, I'm paraphrasing, but, if they find out that, he was saying to himself, they're already calling me Benedict Arnold. If they find out I'm giving you this information, they're going to kill me. And it wasn't long after he turned over the information to her and he wound up dead.
How did he die?
Well, I'm not 100% certain. I think that, there were some health conditions and, he was on some medications and it might have been an overdose issue, but it was never, it was never officially investigated. And after he died, there was a phone call from the property management company placed to one of the board members to say, you go in his unit and you get his computer. And he had a box of documents in his unit that was earmarked for this homeowner. And they all knew that this guy had this information. So they went in and shorted out his computer and then stole the computer and stole the box of documents, to cover up and conceal so this homeowner couldn't get relief. And then, so that was probably, I think it was probably 2007 or so when he died. And then this happened, they went into his unit and cleaned it out, so to speak, but removed the documents and removed the computer. And then, it was in 2011. Was that?
I said, wow. I mean, it just gets worse and worse all the time.
It's absolutely unbelievable. And, these things have not been officially investigated by the police. And, they cover up any inquiries. And why? I don't know.
Why is the police not investigating? The FBI just finished a number of years' worth of investigating all the stuff in Nevada and all of this.
And I want to reach out to them. If you can email me that contact information for who the investigators are out there, because that's one thing that I'm familiar generally with what you're talking about, but I would love to, get those guys, because in Pennsylvania, in some of these media sources, they're saying Pennsylvania is in the top five most corrupt states in the country. And, those statistics are based upon actual prosecutions, things that are known to the public. I mean, there's a whole climate and culture in Pennsylvania that the Good Old Boys Network is known to run this state. And that's what goes on. And we've been reaching out to U.S. attorneys and our attorney general and our Department of Environmental Protection and our FBI here locally. And we're just not getting a lot of response from them. So
just running into a brick wall, huh?
Yeah, running into a brick wall and just not hearing back from people and, just feeling like they're not taking you seriously. And then they start to, they start to act like you're the problem because you're talking about these issues and you're reporting these issues when, we're doing the right thing. We're reporting matters of significant public concern that, many, many people in these locales in this state are at risk. And I never feel bad. I mean, it's a difficult and lonely job to be the whistleblower out here doing this stuff, but you never feel bad about it. They try to alienate you and they try to, cut off your resources and make you look like the problem. But, at some level, we all have a conscience and we know that right is right. And, you just got to persist patiently in the face of all this stuff. So that's where we're at. And I would like to, I do intend to, contact some of these, FBI people out in Nevada and get this information to them and see if maybe they can, you know, maybe they develop some insights into this whole HOA culture. Because, you know, I mean, I don't know what the percentage in Pennsylvania is of homeowners associations, but I'm sure they're much more common in those southern tier states like Florida Arizona, Nevada, California.
Even Virginia over here, over 90% of everything is in a homeowners association. And what's scary is that the ones that are not in homeowners associations are being taken down, demolished, because they're not smart growth, they're not a smart use of the land. And they're being replaced with the type of stuff that you're talking about in Hidden Valley.
That is, I'm absolutely astonished to hear that statistic. 90% of
over 90%. There's the estimate, not in Virginia, in Fairfax County. Fairfax County, for those of you who are not in this area, is right outside of Washington, D.C. It's the biggest county that's right across the border from Washington. It's a bedroom community. It's a relatively new, I mean, it's grown up in the last few years. It was very small. It was rural. Even when I moved here 35 years ago, where I lived, just 3 miles outside the Beltway, it was just country lanes. It's now all developed, and you go for miles and miles, and everywhere you turn around, there are these big sandwich boards with big yellow things, stickers, to say that there's going to be a public hearing about it. And the next thing you know is they have these huge towers that are being built, a lot of new condominiums, everything. It's just piled one on top of the other.
That's an astonishing statistic. And what so basically you got 90% of the residents of Fairfax County paying HOA fees and paying taxes.
Oh, yeah.
Because you pay all your property taxes on top of your HOA fees.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
And where's all this money going?
Well, you know what? The county government just voted itself a pay raise, a $20,000 pay raise. So that's where the money's going. They've been building themselves Taj Mahals and little office buildings. I mean, they've become kings and queens. They're not there to serve the people. They distance themselves from their constituents, and they just keep taxing and taxing and building and brainwashing and lying. And if you could see the stuff that's going up, it's just all cardboard and scotch tape. And my listeners will write to me and say, that doesn't look like cardboard and scotch tape, if they see something old that I post somewhere. But yeah, it's junk. It's absolute and utter junk. And it's all high rises. And what's scary is that the older housing, the older traditional subdivisions, where you had single-family homes on a quarter or a third of an acre lot, those are being demolished and replaced with associations. So if you think, well, there's still 10% of the housing that's not in an HOA, that's not going to be around for long. That's absolutely
not. It's a shocking statistic. I'm just absolutely surprised. And actually, you might have mentioned that before, now that I'm thinking about it, but I'm still, find it absolutely shocking.
Well, what else they do, Andy, that I find absolutely horrible, is that anybody that has any land, they will rezone it. And they will say, well, okay, it's now, if it was an R2, for instance, half an acre per lot, they will rezone it to an R20 or whatever it is, and then they will tax these people based on the new zoning. So if you have one house sitting on an acre and they decide that they can cram 20 houses on that acre, they will tax you as if there were 20 houses. So it's economic warfare. They make it impossible for anyone with any kind of land to be able to stay there. So then they sell it to a developer, and the developer builds a high rise out of cardboard and scotch tape.
Huh.
And it's a future Hidden Valley.
Well, and I had actually just watched that little short documentary called The Condo Game.
Right.
In fact, I think you called me when I was in the middle of watching that the other
yes.
day. And, I mean, that's the whole plan. I mean, these things are just built as investment tools for people to come in and arbitrage them. And,
well, if you notice at the beginning of that, that was in Toronto, but in the beginning of that documentary, they say the reason for that was because the smart growthers came in and they said that you can no longer build on there. There's a map that's out there where all of the land, I mean, people are being squeezed into smaller and smaller lands because they say that it's a suburban sprawl and they don't like it. So somebody's decided they don't like people to have the space. They want to keep it for endangered tsetse flies or whatever the hell they are, and they squeeze them in. So now you've got a smaller area, and you've got to cram more people in there. And they say, well, we're running out of land. No, we're not running out of land. That's a lie.
Yeah.
That's a lie. We're not running out of land. There's tons of land out there.
So they're just taking this old, unusable land that they get for a song and cramming as many people into it to maximize profits is what they're doing.
Well, they're just building these towers.
Yeah.
They're just building these towers. And if you noticed in that thing, you know, they're still under construction, and all of a sudden the glass blows out.
Right.
And it rains glass. You know, it comes down 30 stories. And you're walking in the street, and you're just showered with broken glass. That's a serious problem, Andy.
Yeah. And I, like I said, I haven't, I'm still not the absolute expert in the issues, but I continue to be, sensitive to them and continue to pay attention to them and study them. And, I was a candidate last year, and I fully intend to be a candidate in 2016. And, your listeners will always have a voice in me, because these are, as I view them, I mean, my background as a civil rights lawyer was, a lot of discrimination issues, individual rights issues. And, at first it's kind of hard. It wasn't really that hard for me, because I just become accustomed to thinking this way. But, a lot of people think, well, why are you so interested in these homeowner associations? People know, they're free to contract. They know this stuff. But when you're talking about, raising families, raising children, educating children in safe, secure environments and livable and affordable housing, you are talking about, the most core and basic things and protections of people's lives. And so many people, I mean, what was the figure that I heard? Some 60 million people in the United States live in homeowners associations or condominium owners associations, and are subject to the, not that all 60 million of them are suffering day to day, but at any given time, it could be any one of them. And I'm sure that you probably know there's at least hundreds of thousands, if not millions of them out there right now, who are suffering from abusive boards and failed governments and making their lives miserable. And this exists, it lives with them all of their waking hours. When you don't have a secure home environment, and you have people, abusing their power around you, it just creates a whole oppression over these people's lives. And, something really needs to seriously be done to address these issues. And, I'm going to, continue to be interested in them and do what I can to educate myself on them. And hopefully, if and when I get into Congress, and, that's going to take what's called a real traditional grassroots effort, because, the power is in, this CAI, and the power is in the home builders, and the power is in the developers, because they have the money. And
actually,
so
you know what? I disagree with you, Andy.
Okay.
The power is with the people, and they need to do what your friend is doing. They need to stand up, because, believe it or not, there's a lot more of us than there is of them.
Well, and that's actually true. That's what, and I'm in 100% agreement with you, because I mean, in this political system, the way it's currently constructed, they have the power because they have the big money.
They have the money.
But we have the numbers. We have, and I even talked about it in the article. You know, we've got to show these people, this is the opportunity to really show people what the power of the people really means. And people need to come together, because they might have, you know, tens of millions of dollars, but we got the numbers. And when we band together and we unite behind people who are interested in these issues and leaders who know how to lead on these issues, and we can really show that the power of the people can topple these old money power structures. And, you know, I appreciate your comment on this particular homeowner, because this is an absolutely unbelievably courageous woman. You know, she has stood and withstood this abuse. You know, she's living in this environment where she's getting harassed, she's getting abused, they're talking about killing her, and knowing that she's walking in every day to a deplorable living condition.
And you know what? According to your article, her house is only worth $40,000.
That's correct.
And it's 800 square feet. I mean, it's not a palace that she's living in. But this woman is trying to protect her property, and she's got the decency not to shunt it off onto some unsuspecting buyer, which is what she's been advised to do.
Absolutely. That's what she's been advised to do all along. Even her lawyers, you know, every lawyer that she's been to, everybody that she's talked to, ultimately says just sell it. But it can, you know, there are certain people in this world that still operate on principle. And it was about her, and it was about her being 26 years old and buying her first, you know, piece of property back in 1998, 1999, and wanting to live in a safe, secure environment for all the, you know, personal reasons that people make. But as it went on, you know, it became about the other people. You know, what about the safety of all these other people? One interesting little aspect of this from an HOA perspective, and I have to look at the contract document and the law in Pennsylvania, but some of my sources, you know, say that, you know, 51% of these condominiums are supposed to be owner-occupied, at least 51% at all the time. They have, this is a 26-unit building, and I think there's another smaller building, but this building is 26 units, or it might be the whole condo, and only four of them are owner-occupied. So what the rest of, because a lot of the questions that people ask is, well, how come nobody else is complaining? What's going on with everybody else? Well, when you rent these places, you don't have the same disclosure obligations. The renters don't have the same rights of access to, you know, public common areas and things of that nature. So you can conceal this, and you have four board members who are currently owning and living in their units, and the other one, well, you know, this unit owner remains vacant, you know, as a moral issue. I mean, you know, she's been even chastised, oh, she's just all about the money, oh, she just wants money out of this. Well, if anybody who wanted money would not let a piece of property be vacant for 14, 15 years.
Oh, she doesn't live there?
No, she doesn't live there. She's moved out and has had help and support along the way. But no, I mean, it's absolutely unlivable. There's black mold growing in the bathroom ceilings. There's, you know, she's got 30% moisture through one of the walls adjacent to one of the common element walls. She's got, you know, electrical concerns, sparking and things of that nature. I mean, it's just absolutely deplorable and unlivable. So she's been suffering, and, you know, she's not. You know, and that even is more of a tribute to her, because most people, you know, would say, well, I can't live in it, so I'm just going to dump it. I'm just going to unload it. I'm just going to, you know, and she even had this EPA guy. And it was just, I was actually on the phone with a fellow from some Latino Justice Coalition in New York City, the CPA guy, and he admits that her building is unlivable. He called it a contaminated condo. He referenced it being the Love Canal in that area, and you know he knows what she's dealing with. But you know what he says to her, why don't you put some Hondurans or Mexicans in there? They'll just be happy to have a place to live.
That's just unacceptable. That is just
shocking. It's shocking. Yeah. And this is the mentality of the people in our government. And, you know, I think he's probably mirroring or mimicking some of the mentality of the, you know, the local officials down there. Because, you know, and this is another interesting little aspect of this. You know, this EPA guy has continued to be in contact and been kind of like a go-between. Well, not so much a go-between, because she, I don't think she's really asked for anything from him. But for some reason, he's dealing with the township people, the people who, you know, the government officials in the area, not the HOA people. But he has all this information about the HOA, has all this information about the continuing defamation and abuse. I mean, you know, saying all kinds. I mean, this is going on through the present, recent information that they're still, you know, referring to her in very derogatory and insulting terms. And, you know, it even says, hey, this guy even tells her, you know, they want a pound of flesh out of you. You know, you're not going to get off scot-free. All these kind of continuing threats, and they're coming through people at the township. So, you know, this is you go to a township meeting, and they take it, you know, oh, this is a private matter. We're not going to get involved in any private matters. Well, then why are they, you know, talking to the EPA guy about these matters? I mean, you know, they're able, I mean, and this is just a sad state of affairs, and we were talking about this whole issue of, you know, banishing HOAs. But, you know, and the problem that you pointed out at the time was, well, we got government that doesn't work either. And that's really, you know, a different problem at a different level. But that's what we have here. I mean, it's crony system.
The thing is, we've allowed it to get to that point. We have not held their feet to the fire. We have not insisted that they do what they're getting paid to do. I think everybody's just terrified. Oh, my God, you know, they're... But you've been in front of the township council meetings. You've been the meetings.
Yeah.
And you want to tell us a little bit about it? You said
sure.
You were, there's one you wrote about, and there's another one that you went to last night.
Yeah.
What happened?
Well, it's real interesting how this works. You know, the one we went to back on February 23rd, we went with another, you know, supporter of this homeowner's. I mean, she made the decision, the council decision, you know, talked to some friends, and, you know, with the threats of harm to her and always making it about her, I mean, frankly, she didn't feel, you know, completely safe walking into these places. And so she made the decision not
That's
to go.
Her government. That's her government, and she didn't feel safe going into her
exactly.
government.
Exactly. How about that? Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's okay. You know, thank you. That's the point I'm trying to make.
And that is the point. I mean, you can't even be safe and secure, you know, walking into, you know, do public business anymore. So, you know, I and this other fella and a couple other people went to the meeting and did a presentation, and there wasn't really that much of a problem because they weren't. You know, I guess it wasn't really on their radar, even though they knew generally what was going on. He was able to get up. We have an engineering report. I mean, they were not for years able to even get a structural engineer to get out to this property because of everybody, you know, who they would call. I'm not going out there. Oh, no, I've heard about that place. I don't want to be involved in that, you know. It's like this real mystique, mystery behind, you know, the political intrigue behind this situation that a lot of people seem to know but not a lot of people talk about. But ultimately, you know, I had a friend who I knew who was a structural engineer, and he went out there, and he, you know, he did a report, and this report just damns that whole building. I mean, it basically says that even to get to the heart of what the problems are, you're going to have to do some major demolition at that property. And there are venting issues, and there's a mold issue, and there are electrical issues, and all manner of issues. And he talked about the possible contamination and all these things. And this report, you read this report, and you look at the report, and you say, well, there's one solution here. That building needs to come down. And that's basically what, you know, I mean, these engineers, of course, they think anything could be fixed. You know, you probably spend $5 million fixing a $2 million building, but, you know, it's still fixable according to them. But, you know, for most rational people looking at this, it should come down. So we got up, and, you know, he made his presentation, and the board, and I'm not a resident of the township, and I got up and explained my interest and how I became involved, and this is about the health and safety of the residents, and, you know, made a little presentation. And, you know, it went off pretty much, you know, without a hitch. I mean, you know, there wasn't a lot of discussion. And, you know, there was some discomfort, and you could tell, but still, we were able to present the issues. So, you know, nothing had been heard or done in the intervening time, and, you know, we were down there yesterday, like I said, filming this documentary, and, you know, there was a board meeting last night, and they had this matter put on the agenda last night. And, you know, so I went into the meeting, and, you know, they called this matter up, and I got up to talk. And as soon as I got up to talk, the lawyer showed me, are you a resident of this township? And I was, no. I mean, I told them before I wasn't a resident of the township, and he wouldn't allow me to speak. And he just basically shut me up. These are private property concerns. You're not a resident of the township. You sit down. And another fellow who was one of the residents of the township got up and tried to address some of these contamination issues. And he says, well, we had our Department of Environmental Protection look into these issues, and they said there was nothing wrong. If you have an issue with them, you go take it up with them. So basically, you know, we went from having an open forum to talk about these issues when they weren't really aware of what's going on. They had 30 days to review the information and understand the situation. And we went in there last night and got completely shut down.
And this was the attorney for the council.
Yeah, this and you know, I made a comment, you know, kind of I took a little parting shot when because then, you know, I got up and I was up there for 15, 20 seconds, maybe 30 seconds, and then sat down, and this other fellow got up, and, you know, he was up there for about a minute, and he shut him down. And as we were walking out, I stood up and I pointed to all the board members. I said, you know, this is a problem that you people have when you refer everything to your lawyers and you let your lawyers make all these decisions, because he's causing all of you a problem that I don't think you want to have right now. But that's what happened at these board, and this is, you know, this gets to my issues in court systems and lawyers and their control of these processes. You go to these township meetings and you got a board of 7 or 9 township supervisors, however many they have there, and they all sit there not saying a word. And the only one talking and the only one making any decisions during these meetings is a lawyer.
And he's never been elected.
Yeah, he's not elected. He's an appointed, hired solicitor that has political connections. You know, and I'm not talking, I don't know a lot about this guy personally, but in general terms.
He's an employee.
You know, solicitors are just, yeah, they're employees who are appointed, you know, based upon, you know, whatever political connections their law firms have in the county. So you got a whole board of supervisors, and I, you know, it puts me in a difficult spot because my First Amendment rights last night were without question violated. And I even said to him at the time, I said, are you sure you want to have this discussion about, you know, are you sure you want to invite the violation of my First Amendment rights in possible litigation? And he said, please sue us. You know, just a real arrogant, smug attorney. And I'm thinking, and I'm looking at him, and I'm looking at these board members, and I'm thinking, why don't one of you people get up and talk about this issue? I mean, I wasn't there for my personal enjoyment. You know, I was there because there are some serious issues with possible land contamination, with a building with people at daily risk, and, you know, something needs to happen. It's not like I, you know, get my jollies off of just running around and being a rabble-rouser at township meetings. I was there for legitimate business that are matters of public concern, and I couldn't even get it addressed. And they I got made to look like I'm an enemy, like I'm coming in there and trying to create an issue. I mean, we got an engineering report. We have all kind of evidence. I've got video evidence now that this woman who owned this unit was attacked and defamed and even threatened with homicide, basically. And I chuckle when I say that, but it's just out of astonishment more than anything else.
You know, Andy, that's not unusual. That happens repeatedly. If you disagree or if you point out something, all of a sudden you're the bad guy, you're isolated, you're put in this box, and you're threatened. And
well,
this is when I say to people, stand up. I mean, yeah. She's standing up, but the thing is the neighbors need to stand up as well, because next time it could be you, and there's not going to be anyone there to stand
right
with you. The power is in the people.
Right, absolutely, Sue. And that's and I, you know, not to, well, I mean, I am in the political process and the political game now, so it's all manner of selling myself, but not because I have any interest in, you know, padding my wallet or, you know, aggrandizing myself or my power. But you frankly need people like me out there.
Oh, I agree.
Talk about these issues, who
agree
with the heart of these issues, who knows what the power of the people is. And, you know, we got to find ways to get people like me, or, you know, and I hope there's many more like me out there that, you know, will start getting behind these issues and working on grassroots movements. Because really, when you get down to it, I mean, this poor homeowner, you know, fighting this issue all these years alone, getting abused by lawyers, getting mistreated by courts, getting township officials and government officials not paying any attention, and just having to live with this day after day after day after day, you know, with powerless. And I just, you know, every time I talk to her, I just tell her how much I absolutely admire the effort, because when all else failed, you know, she was still persisting in her principle and trying to get whatever support that she could. And, you know, we're just going to stick with this. And I know, I mean, I have a whole kind of faith component to these things in the way I live my life. But, you know, when you know that you are 100% right on these issues, morally and based on principle, well, that's, you know, the test for ourselves and our faith is to persist in the face of these things until, you know, justice and right and good prevails. And, you know, I do this. I mean, this is a very, very touch and go political situation with some powerful people at some very high levels. And they, you know, their practice has been anybody who's tried to help over the years, they find a way to alienate, they find a way to get to, they find a way to shut up. And I persist in the face of that without any fear because, you know, at some level, right is right, and you just have to have people that know that and live by that and persist in the face of it. And they can do what they can to try to shut me down, but, you know, they're going to have to take some pretty drastic measures because they're not going to ever shut me up. And I'll just, you know, keep on going until we get justice in this situation. And then, you know, and one thing I want people to understand is, you know, this kind of fell into my lap and happens to be, you know, in my backyard here in Pennsylvania. But if we can break this, I've become, you know, personally involved in this and very interested in it. And, you know, but if we can break this and we can show this, you know, I'm doing this for all the people who are out there listening right now, too, you know, to show that there are methodologies, that there are things to do, that when you get the power of the people behind you, we can break these old patterns and we can topple these old structures and institutions and, you know, start the wave going in the other direction. So, you know, I don't have any, you know, personal interest. I don't own anything out here. I'm not certainly not making any money off of it or anything. But if people, you know, out there who are listening can help us with ideas and support and anything that you can, go look at the Hidden Valley, Hidden Truths, .web.com. Read the article on the Wilkes-Barre Independent Gazette. You know, feel free to contact me, Andy@AndyOstrowski.com. And any ideas that you have, any way we can network with people anywhere, we need the power of the people here. And, you know, if and when we do get this, and even if we don't, I mean, I try to reciprocate as much as I can. I spend all my time trying to help other people. And, you know, but if we can get some successes under our belt and start showing that, you know, we're not going to take this stuff sitting down, and then there are people, not just in Berks County and not just in Pennsylvania, but across the country, who are interested in these issues are going to start picking up phones and calling and asking questions and demanding answers. And I'd be happy to take the lead on all of it. I mean, I put myself out there in this article. You know, at the end, I say, pick up the phone and call your U.S. attorney and call your attorney general and call this Spring Township, Berks County, Pennsylvania. I don't have their number handy, but, you know, pick up the phone. But I say, feel free to let them know that Andy Ostrowski sent you. And, you know, we need leaders who have the courage to go in the face of this stuff. And, you know, ultimately, I view all these people, all these powerful, rich and powerful people who hide behind mistruth and deception, I view them fundamentally as cowards, and I'm not afraid of any of them. And, you know, we just need people to know that ultimately, you know, when we have truth and justice and right on our side, that they are going to fail. And if they're living in lives of lies and deceit and you know, abuse of power, they're the cowards here. And we can show them, you know, what's right and what's good and just persist in these things. It takes a lot of patience. It takes a lot of persistence. And it takes, you know, people stepping out of their daily lives and picking up the phone and making another phone call.
Just reach out.
Things.
You know, you're not going to fight this under cover of darkness. And if there's anything that cannot or will not withstand public scrutiny, then there's something very seriously wrong with it.
Amen.
And if they're taking away... Okay, we're going to be running out of time here pretty soon, but I have a couple of questions for you, Andy.
Sure.
Number one, you said that one of her attorneys took all the documentation. Is there any way that somebody can get a court order to have that stuff returned?
Well, you know, I'm aware of my licensing situation, and because of the way that I'm talking to all your listeners right now, you see why they want to shut me up, and I don't have my license right now, so I'm not. I believe that there are, clearly. I'm not a lawyer on the case.
No, I understand, but
But yeah, there are things. But then now when they're protected, I mean, the lawyers just lie. Oh, we gave it back. Oh, we don't have it anymore. Oh, we did this, we did that. So I believe that there's probably things that are going to be done. You know, I know that efforts have been undertaken. And, you know, when you're going to lawyers to go after lawyers, and all these lawyers keep, you know, kind of passing the buck and not doing what you're asking them to do, it makes it very difficult. But I'm sure there are things that, that she can and will do, and that's certainly, you know, what I would believe would be a high priority. So, yeah.
You also said that there was a documentary being done. And you said you had stuff on film. Was the meeting being recorded yesterday?
I don't know. I mean, that was one of the things I was going to do when I stood up. I had my camera and sound guy there, and I was going to, my first order of business was going to, you know, just point out to the board out of respect. I think I'm perfectly free to walk in and record these meetings, and I know under the law that I am, but I wanted to let them know that's what we were going to do. And I don't know if they were able to do it, because I didn't even get to, you know, advise them that that's what we were going to do. But I did some, you know, we did some comment out in front of the township building afterwards, and we'll certainly get that up online.
I think you need to get in there with cameras, and you need to have the attorney say, oh, you can't talk, and then ask him about your First Amendment rights. Because this is the type of stuff, if you get enough of this out there, then the mainstream media will start picking up on it. Hopefully 2020 will do something. You need the big exposés. You need to get this out on the skyline.
Yeah, I agree. And that's kind of what these small efforts are all. You know, you got to do all this legwork to kind of build some support so that exactly what you're saying, so that someone in the mainstream media with a big access, you know, takes a look at this and says, wow, you know, maybe we can go in and cover this now. And there is so much intrigue and drama involved in this situation that, you know, I really think there would be some real public, you know, mainstream media interest in this.
Well, the thing is, if you get it out there often enough, if it keeps coming up, it will. So, and you know, any venue you can find to get it out there, that's the only way. You're going to have to put it on the skyline, one way or the other. This is just one of many, many developments, projects, whatever you want to call them. Call them anything you like except the community, because that's not what they are. But there's so many of them that are physically harmful to the residents, to the owners.
Well, has 60 Minutes or 2020 or Dateline, have they ever done anything on HOAs?
Oh, yeah. In fact, some years ago, I worked with one of the producers on 2020, and she did an absolutely phenomenal job on some of the HOA issues, and I was fortunate enough to be able to push a lot of the information to her. There's a whole long story behind that, and she did do a follow-up. But, yeah, they need it. You need to get that information out there. Go to the papers. I mean, even if you get them in the small papers, then the bigger papers will pick them up.
Right.
That's when all of a sudden you'll get a lot of these politicians who are going to want FaceTime, and all of a sudden they're going to be wanting to do this, that, and the other, but it's all speak. Yeah. It's all nonsense. Yeah. It's all BS, but just keep it up, because it's the trickle thing. They're not going to come. 2020 is not going to come on its own.
Right.
They'll look at it when there's a lot of chatter about it. So it's just get the chatter out there.
Yeah, and that's what anybody listening, if you have ideas, you know, help us keep the chatter going. That's what we need here.
Put it on. Social media is great. You know, the local TV stations, that kind of gets picked up.
Yeah, but we get, you know, in this area, you know, this is some peculiar politics in these areas in Pennsylvania. And, you know, even local media is kind of controlled by the political connected powers that be.
There's going to be someone who's going to buck the system. But the thing is, it's got to look like it's not just one little person whining. It's got to be out there. People have got to be talking about it. And the only way they're going to do that is get on local radio stations. I mean, you're getting whole hour, and that's going to be on the internet, and it's going to be podcast. And believe it or not, people will come in and they will actually listen to old shows. So yeah, it'll be there, and so pass it on. Make sure everybody hears it, but get it into places like the Washington Post, you know, all of these major newspapers.
Yeah,
get it in local papers, and then the Post will pick it up. And all of the ones in Pennsylvania or New York or anywhere.
And that's what I told this homeowner from the start. I said, you know, you're not going to get relief, you know, at a township meeting or even maybe through the courts. You know, this is going to take a public relations effort. You're going to have to get a lot of people talking about this and showing that there's something, you know, and particularly when you're dealing with these crony politics issues, you know. I mean, it's just so hard to crack through that.
But we can do it, Andy.
Yeah,
we can do it. The power is with the people, and I want to thank you so much.
Thank you
for coming on.
Yeah, anytime, and I appreciate you know, giving you an update. Maybe
please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to justice for HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.